Morning, it's nice to be back. Can you please tell me it's nice for you to be back? Thank you, I feel loved. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be together again. Thank you, Lord, for this family of mine here at Soul Union Church, Lord. We haven't seen each other for some time, but I know, Lord God, that you have been working in mighty ways in this church, and we know, Father, that you're using them to reach out to many people around this whole area, Lord God, so that many people would come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. And thank you, Lord God, for the ministries that they have, not only here in this local church, but even beyond the borders of what they're doing. We know, Father, that you're going to bless them so much so that they can be a source of blessings to others as well. This is our prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's greet one another. Let's say hi. Happy New Year. You know, I know it's funny, you know, saying Happy New Year again, right? But the good thing about being in Korea is that you get to celebrate New Year twice a year. You know, like you have a January one New Year, and then you have the Lunar New Year, so you get to greet one another Happy New Year twice. And not only that, you get to greet one another Happy Birthday twice too. You know, because, you know, my wife explained to me that she has a, you know, like a, you know, like a lunar birthday and a real birthday. And the good thing about that is that you get two gifts. So I said, I love lunar birthdays. All right. I'm going to be preaching on Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 20. If you have your Bibles, would you please open it to the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 20. Now, when I was coming here, I realized that this is a very long passage. So, we're going to be here for like maybe like about an hour. Is that okay? Right. Some of you are already walking down now. But I'll be preaching only on verses 1 to 14. And then after that, maybe you could invite me back for the next part. All right. Ephesians is a book written by the Apostle Paul, and it's one of what they call as a prison epistle because he wrote it when he was in prison. So can you just imagine the Apostle Paul suffering, he's anguishing, he's despairing, perhaps in jail, but he was not thinking about his situation. He's thinking about the people outside the jail. Thank you so much. Just like this. He's thinking about me. Thank you so much. And so the Apostle Paul was thinking about the believers and how he could encourage people outside the church. And so he penned this letter and then he sent it to the believers. Perhaps it was a letter not just for the Ephesians, but it was a letter for a lot of different Christians. But it was found in Ephesus. And so the people who were reading this, they were encouraged greatly by the Apostle Paul. In the first chapter, the Apostle Paul reminds them of all of the spiritual blessings that they have received from God. If you look at Ephesians chapter 1, you would see there that he says, "Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us." Let's say that word, blessed us. He has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessings in Christ. Now, if you read that passage, you will see a lot of things that God has done for us. He has blessed us spiritually. In verse 4, it says that we were chosen in him. Can you say that to your seatmates? You are chosen by God. You're like, you are chosen by God. And we are chosen by God. We were chosen by God and we were predestined in him, adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ. And when you go through all of this, you see words like you were redeemed by God, you were chosen by God, you were predestined by God. And so all of these things are blessings. Imagine yourself, somebody sending a large amount of money to your bank account. You don't know that, but when you check your ATM or when you do the online banking thing, and then you suddenly have like a large amount of money, it's that kind of blessing. It's like being deposited in you through Jesus Christ. And so the Apostle Paul, at the latter part of chapter 1, he says to them, you know what, this is my prayer for you. Because of all of these spiritual blessings that you have received from God, my prayer is this, that you would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you would know God better. And I think that's the best prayer that we could ever pray for somebody. You know, we know a lot of people who are sick and we pray for them that they would be healed physically, and we know some people who are struggling financially, and we pray for them that God will bless them financially. Those are good prayers, and I believe that we should pray for those and for those kinds of things and help them. But if there's one prayer that we could really pray for people that we know, is to pray for them that they would know Jesus Christ in their lives, that they would have the wisdom and the revelation to know Jesus Christ, who he really is. Because if we know who Jesus is, then we won't need anything else. We often hear that Jesus is enough for us. Amen? In chapter 2, he explains to us this blessing. It's not just, you know, like God has chosen us and blessed us, but he explains to us where we were before we met Christ. And he says this, before you had Christ in your life, you were dead. Can you say that? I was dead. We were dead in sin, but because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, we're now alive. Now, it's not just a matter of saying, like, I was kind of bad before. You know, I used to smoke, I used to drink, you know, and all of those kinds of things. You know, preachers always like to harp on this, like, you know, quit smoking, quit drinking, as if being a Christian is just not smoking and drinking. But here, the Apostle Paul is saying, you know what, let me explain to you how great this blessing that God has given you. You were dead before. And when you're dead, you're dead. There's nothing. You know, it's not that I'm, you know, I used to be bad, but now I'm a little bit better. It's not like that. You were dead. But now you're alive in Christ. And the Ephesians, perhaps when they were reading this, they were like, wow, this is the blessing that God has given me. And then and Paul was telling them, you know what? We're not just alive now in Christ, but Christ has also given us a work that he has prepared for us in advance. It says in verse 10 of chapter 2, for we are God's workmanship. Can you say that to your seatmate? You are God's workmanship. You are God's masterpiece. Some of you think, yeah, I'm an abstract art. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And that's why we love the series that we just finished, Faith in Action, and Be the Church. Because that's what God wants us to do. He has blessed us so that we could do good works. Have you been doing your, you know, homework after the series? I mean, have you been doing some kind of good work? You know, have you been applying that faith in action? And I believe that's what God wants us to do. And so that's what the Apostle Paul tells us. He not only blessed us in by giving us life, but he also explained to the believers that before you were far off in Christ, but now because of Jesus Christ, you are now near. Those people who were Jewish and they were believers, they are brought near because of faith in Jesus. But even those who were pagan before, because of faith in Jesus Christ, they are now pulled into Christ. And so those people who were, you know, the Jewish believers, and they thought that they were the only ones who were saved, and, you know, because they were the people of God, they were brought near, not because of them being Jews, but because of faith in Christ. But even the pagans that they didn't associate with before, they are also brought near with Christ. Now, who are the pagans? We were, you know, we were like the Gentiles. We're like, look at your seatmates and tell them, you're a pagan before. But now we're believers in Christ, and we're brought near to God. And that's a blessing for us. In chapter 3, he prays for the believers by saying this. He says in verse 16 of chapter 3, I pray that out of his glorious riches, what are the glorious riches of God? Chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. And he says this, I pray that the glorious riches, out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. What Paul is saying is that because of the riches that God has given for us, may you be strengthened with this. Now, I know we go through a lot of pains in life, right? We go through a lot of tough decisions and tough times in our lives. And sometimes when you feel like giving up, just remember all of the glorious riches that God has given you. And this would strengthen you. Chapter 4 tells us, because all of these things has been given to you, because this spiritual, you know, riches has been deposited into your account, I want you to live your life in a different way. You know, in verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1, it says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. To live a life according to the calling that you have received. And we have a high calling in God. Amen? We don't have just, you know, I remember years ago in the Philippines, we had a president who was impeached. And he was impeached because he lied. When you think about it, everybody lies, right? Have you ever lied before? Anybody here who has lied before? Raise your hand and say, shame on me. I mean, we've lied before, right? But we never get impeached. Nobody tells you, you should go out of the church, you lied. Or you're disfellowshipped because you lied. But because this person was the president of our country, he was impeached for lying. And I thought about myself and many other people. Everybody lies, but they don't get impeached. Why is it so? Well, the reason for that is because of his calling. He's the president of our country. I think in your country too, right? You know, like if he lies, he would be accountable. In the same way, like you have pastors here, right? We have Pastor Jeff. If Pastor Jeff lies to you, I don't know what you're going to do to you. But, you know, the thing is, we have a high calling. And because of that calling, we're supposed to live our lives differently. I told my friends in my church, and a lot of them are workers, and, you know, I told them, what if your boss suddenly decides to double your salary? Like from this amount of salary per month, suddenly it's doubled. And then they would start by saying, you know what, I'll start buying things that I've never bought before. I'll start eating foods that I've never eaten before. My whole life's going to change. You know, I used to live in a small house, but I'm going to make a bigger house. So what this means is that when you have this amount of riches, if you have this amount of, you know, financial wealth, your life suddenly changes. You know, decisions that you make, the things that you buy, the things that you, you know, the properties that you have, everything will change. Same thing spiritually. If God has blessed you with all of these things, don't you think a different life should come out of that? And that's why the Apostle Paul tells us, before, this is your nature. This was your old self. But because you have Christ now in your life, you have to be a new creation. Before, you used to live in darkness, but now you're living in light. That's why in chapter 5, this is what he says to us. Verse 5, chapter 5, verse 1, he says, be imitators of God. Let's say that. Be imitators of God. Now, imitation is what many of us, you know, like especially for the parents, what we do to our kids. When we were about to have our first baby, Gabby, I was really like nervous. You know, I didn't know what to do. I'm gonna be a first-time dad, and so what I did was I went to a counselor, and I asked my counselor. I said, "What should I do to raise my kids well?" And my counselor looked at me in the eye and he said, "There are three ways that you could raise your kids. Number one, example. Number two, example. And number three, example." And I said, "That's it? That's it? Show them a good example." And this is what we as children of God need to see in our God. Paul says, be imitators of God as dearly loved children. Now, there are three things that I want to share with you today that we need to do as we imitate God. First one is to imitate God in love. The second one is to imitate God in holiness. And the third one is to imitate God in His light. To walk our lives in God's love, to walk our lives in God's holiness, and to walk our lives in God's light. Let's look at chapter 5, verse 2. It says here, live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. If there's one thing that the Apostle Paul wants us to do first, if you want to follow God, if you want to imitate God, if you want to copy God, live your life in love. Now, I know many of us know the word love, right? I mean, we use the word love almost every day. I love pizza. Yes. You know, I love my dog. Everybody, amen. I love pizza. I love my dog. And I love my wife. Okay? I mean, I hope you don't use it in the same way. But when you think about love, you know, we use it sometimes very casually. Like, you know, I love you. But when things go rough on us, you know, we're not together anymore. I mean, I'm leaving. And that's not love. Here, the Apostle Paul tells us that this is the kind of love that we ought to have. He says, live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. The past 2 days, I've been in a retreat. And it's a good thing, to be in an environment where we could just, relax and be with people around us. There was one time we had a guest in church, and I was really interested in talking to her because she's a Filipina, but she has a Korean name, and I was really interested. Like, so your name is this, and I was, yeah. So why is your name like that? Is that your nickname or like your Facebook name? And she said, the truth is, I am married to a Korean, to a Korean man. I said, oh, that's great. I'm married to a Korean wife too. So yeah, we're in the same category. But she said, but I'm divorced. I said, what happened? I got married very early. I was 22 years old when I got married, and things were difficult. I can't understand Korean, and he can't speak in Filipino or in English. And could you imagine, they were together for 14 years and they can't communicate with each other when somebody's angry, and stuff. And after 14 long years, she said, I just have to give up. I just have to give up. And I asked her, I said, when you got married, and I was just assuming that all love stories started the same. I was very naive to think about that in that way. But I said, did you love him before you got married? And she said, no, I didn't even know him before we got married. I just knew him on the day of our wedding. Yeah, apparently, it's like the mail order bride thing. It was very difficult. And I said, didn't you learn to love him, for all of those 14 years? And she said, no, it wasn't love at all. It was just I was just there because I wanted to leave the country to have a better future and things like that. And she started crying because she said, I was looking for a better future, but here's my life right now. It was so difficult. But sometimes when you think about it, love, if we think that love is the solution to all of the problems in the world, but it's not. I mean, it's not the way we use the word love, because we don't really understand it the way God understands love. Paul says to us, just as Christ loved us and gave up himself for us. How did God love us? How did Jesus love us? Did he give up on us because we weren't faithful Christians? Levi hasn't been going to church. He missed one time. He wasn't faithful in giving, and so I give up. That's not how Christ loved us. In fact, he loved us when we were not, who we are today. He loved us when we were still sinners. When we were enemies of God, he loved us. And he gave up himself for us. That's the kind of love that God has for us. It's a sacrificial kind of love. It's a very, a self-giving kind of love. I love my wife, but when she starts making kimchi at home, honey, I love you. And I do this, I love you, honey. I mean, but after, we're going to be 7 years together by this year, and I really thank God because after 3.5 years of, honey, I love your kimchi. Okay? Now I can honestly say, I love your kimchi. And I love everything about her. I love everything. I love her culture. I love her food. I love her as a person, everything about her. Do we fight sometimes? Yes. We're not always perfect, Does she win? All the time. Because I love her. Okay, you win. I give up. Maybe that's the only time you should give up, right? Not give up in the marriage, but give up sometimes, even if you feel like you're right. But you give up because you love the person. This is how Jesus Christ loved us. He said, it says here, he gave up himself for us as a fragrant offering. So it's not just an offering. It's just, you know, it's a fragrant offering. It's something like a pleasing. It's like something that's really good. It's not like, oh, I'm going to just, you know, bear this, you know, I'm going to bear this for the next 20 minutes. Pastor Lev, he's still preaching. But that's the first thing. If you want to be an imitator of God, start walking in love. The second thing is not only to walk in love, but to walk in His holiness. Verse 3 says, but among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenities, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Two words, improper for God's people. Let's say that together. Improper for God's people. Out of place. These things are out of place among God's people. I remember before when I was a youth pastor in the Philippines, I was invited to a college grad ball. And they asked me, Pastor Lev, before we, you know, like, really have the party and get drunk, could you please share the message? So, okay, all right. So I went there, and thinking that it was a college graduation ball, so everybody would probably, you know, because, you know, they want to celebrate it. It was in a hotel, so I thought everybody would be coming in with, you know, suit and tie and stuff. So I went there, suit and tie, you know, and really had my hair cut. I was looking really slick. So I went there, and, you know, the black suit, right? So I went inside. There was catering. So I saw some of the waiters there. And then the college students were there, and they were, like, wearing short pants, and, you know, and there was a big party. And I felt really out of place. I mean, the way I was dressed. And so when I was coming inside, nobody knew that I was going to be the speaker. Somebody came to me and said, can I have one more glass of beer? Sure. So the other time, I went to a fellowship and in Korea, and you know, when you go to a Korean church, usually it's very formal. So everybody was, you know, wearing suit, and I thought, like, you know, oh, it's okay, it's just gonna be a worship service. So I went there, I was wearing something like this, and I felt like when I was introduced, I said, I'm the bus driver. I was so out of place, you know, for those two times. So what Paul was saying is that, you know, these kinds of things, sexual immorality, impurity, coarse joking, foolish talk, all of these things are out of place in a Christian's life. A person who has been saved by God, a person who has been dead before but now is alive, a person who has been deposited and all of these glorious, riches, spiritual blessings for God, from God, a person who has all of these things should not live their lives like the way they used to live their lives, but it should be different. Now, the idea is that we should start living our lives in holiness. Now, holiness is a very difficult word because, you know, when you think about holy, it's like, you know, sinless perfection. Like, how many of you are holy, if that was the definition of holiness? I mean, nobody would qualify for holiness. But the idea here is that we have been separated for God. We have been separated from God. God has saved us from darkness. He has brought us to light. God has saved us from a sinful life, from a life that has been saved, so that we can do good works for God. It's the idea of, you know, like, I used to wash clothes by my hands when I was in college, because I went to seminary. We didn't have washing machines in my seminary. So I used to, like, pick my white clothes, you know, put it in one spot. Area, and then the colored clothes in one area, and then one of my older brother in seminary said, that's holiness, you know, white clothes and the colored clothes. Yeah, being holy. But that's the idea. We are separated for God's use. And can you say that? I am separated for God's use. My mouth is separated for God's use. My hands are separated for God's use. My eyes are separated for God's use. So when you use your mouse, what websites do you click? What kind of, you know, pages do you see in Facebook? Or what kind of things that, you know, not just all, you know, I like computers, obviously, so that's why all of these things. But our whole bodies, our whole lives are separated for God's use. That's why even the Apostle Paul, in chapter 12, verse 1 of Romans, he says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable for God." That's how we do it. That's how we live our lives in holiness for God. To give not just, you know, that's not just give lip service, "God, you're holy and I want to give my life to you," but to really live it in our lives. It says here, "For this is, you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them." You know, let no one deceive you. I have a friend, and I love this friend so much, but whenever he says, "You know what, God is loving, and he will forgive you from all of your sins, even your past, your present, and your future sins." And that's true. God has forgiven us. But the next thing that he would say is, just live your life the way you want it. I mean, yes, God is loving and God will forgive you and God is faithful that even if you do sin in the future, that God will still forgive you. But, you know, it's like you're just looking at one part of the picture. We're not seeing that God is not just loving, but he is as well holy. God is not only loving, but at the same time, he's just. In fact, love and justice are two important qualities of God. That without the other, it's not going to be, you know, if God was just loving and he was not just, then he will just allow you to do, he will spoil you. How many of you here has children? Okay? Don't you love your kids? I mean, you love your kids so much, right? I love my two kids, and like, God, I pray for them that they would grow up fast and that they would leave our house. Because my wife and I, we have big plans. Plan accordingly, kids. I mean, I love my kids. And I always, you know, I want to show love for them by buying things for them, by doing things for them. But when they do something wrong, I also go down and tell them, "I don't want you to do this thing again because it's going to hurt you. And it's going to hurt me and it's going to hurt your mom. It's not going to be okay for the family if you keep doing these things." And my son is just 4 years old. But, you know, you get what I'm trying to say, right? I mean, you love your kids. You don't spoil them. You give things to them. But at the same time, when they're wrong, you teach them. You correct them because you love them. And that's how it is with God. God loves us, and he sacrificed himself for us. But at the same time, he wants us to live our lives in a way that pleases him, in a way that is holy. So think about it. A third thing is not only that we should walk in God's love and walk in God's holiness, but we should also walk in God's light. Verse 8 says, "For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth." The Apostle Paul was saying, live in love, be holy, don't do this. But now he's saying, live in light, do this. People who live in the light bear fruit of goodness, bear fruit of righteousness, bear fruit of truth. He was contrasting a life without God and a life in God. A life that is poor in spiritual blessings and a life that is full of spiritual blessings. Now that we have the blessings of God, then you ought to live your lives as if you are in the light because you are children of light. Back in the 1990s, we had an energy crisis in my country. I think we still do sometimes. But it was so severe that it was like several months that every night there would be no power. So, the big business during that time were, you know, rechargeable lamps. So we had lots of rechargeable lamps at night. But because, you know, we're living in a tropical country, so most of the time it's just summer the whole year round. We have almost like one or two seasons, hot season and hotter season. that's life in the Philippines. You know, you want a year-long summer? Come to our country. All right. So it was like that. So every night when there was no power, all the kids would go out. And when we come back bleeding, you know, bruised, because there's no like, you don't walk well. You know, you hit your head somewhere, you fall down, you know, scratch yourself somewhere, and then when I come home, my mom will say, "What happened to you?" I replayed, you know, bleeding and stuff. That's what you get when you're living in darkness. But it's totally different when you're living in a very, you know, like well-lighted place, because you can see things. In the same way, people who live in darkness are bound to hurt themselves. People who live in darkness, who don't live in the light, are bound to hurt, not only hurt themselves, but are also bound to hurt others. This is what Paul is saying. Live your life loving God and walking and living your life according to how God loved us. To live your life in a holy way, abstaining from doing all of those things that hurt God's heart. But at the same time, do the things that pleases God. He says here, "For the fruit of the light consists of all in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." Verse 10, "And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what is the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is the light that makes everything visible." If you want to imitate God, if you want to follow our God as dearly loved children, then three things. To walk our lives in God's love. To walk our lives in God's holiness. And to walk our lives in God's light. Then this pleases God. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity that we could be together once more. But more so, Lord God, for this very important reminder that we as believers, we as Christians, are called to be imitators of you. Father, as we grew up, Lord, as we are growing right now, we tend to imitate people around us because they're good speakers, because they're good people, because they're good teachers, because they look good in many different things. But Lord, if there's one person that we really ought to imitate and copy, and not just copy, Lord God, superficially, but to really live the same kind of life, it is Jesus Christ, who came here into this world to live the lives of human beings just like us, but did not sin. He was victorious, gave up himself on the cross, died for our sins, but he also lived to give us hope. Father, we pray that as we follow you, as we follow Jesus Christ, that we walk our lives according to your love, that we walk our lives according to your holiness, and that we walk our lives according to your light. This is our prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.